too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize that you're too faithful to fail me. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me. Oh, Lord, you're too faithful to disappoint me. You've proven yourself in my life, and I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me. I'll sing the verse, hallelujah. You are who you are yesterday, today, and forevermore. What you say is what you do. finish.
What you start, you always finish. And I've come to realize you're too faithful to fail me.
You're too faithful, Lord. You're too faithful.
You're too faithful to fail me.
Yes, Lord, you are.
You're too faithful to disappoint.
Too faithful to fail me. Yes, Lord. You're too faithful. Too consistent. Too committed. You're God. You cannot lie. If you said a thing, no matter how many obstacles the enemy may put in the way, you fulfill your word. You are God. And you crush every resistance. And Lord, oh God, tonight we cry out to you. Let your consistency, your commitment, your faithfulness be lived out in us. May we, as your children, as your sons, daughters, you as our Father, may we, O God, exemplify who you are on a daily basis. Help us through our shortcomings, those areas in our lives where we have not been as we should. Lord, in your loving kindness and tender mercies, help us to reflect the true essence of who you are, not in a distorted mirror that doesn't represent the proper image as it should be, but in that which is properly finished and polished, that we will behold you, and that as we behold you, we too are being changed, transformed, renewed, renovated, oh, to glorify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, for your grace is sufficient. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, bless you all. Thank God for his faithfulness. This evening, I want to continue in our discourse found in the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter. I want to focus my attention this evening on the wells. As we have come to grasp, Isaac is in the land of Gerar. Gerar means the lodging place. And while he's there, he is redigging the wells of his father. These wells have been stuffed up. The word is the word sotam. And which means, that word satam can be translated also not just as stopped or shut, but hidden. And in so many ways, the enemy wants to hide our history, our good history. He wants to expose our bad history, but hide our good history. Hide our true legacy. So the enemy will want to remind you of bad settings, but hide from you the good settings, the good things in your life. that you're supposed to continue on with. And so the Bible tells us that the Philistines, when they saw how mighty, how great, how fast Isaac was expanding and growing and flourishing, when he stood in the place of righteousness, in that place where he allowed God's word to speak to his spirit and to rid him of what he was afraid of, things began to change. Because the word of God says, then he sowed in that land, in verse 12. Then he sowed. And when he sowed in that land, he received in the same year. Somebody say, same year. Amen? Same year. So that doesn't, that simply means it didn't matter whether he sowed in March or sowed in April or sowed in August or that same year. Amen? That same year. And I want to declare over us, over me, over you, over this church, that this same year, as we sow into the things of God, that God will prosper us, for we sow to ourselves in righteousness. Amen? We must stop speaking negativity into our personal lives, into our finances, into our relationships, into our church, into our relationships with others, into our relationship with God, into our relationship with ourselves. Do you know you can relate with yourself? You're a trinity. You're a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. And if your body is not in alignment, in agreement, relating properly, you're sick. You get sick. Things begin to fall apart. So we have to have proper relationship with ourselves. Our spirit, our soul, and our bodies. The way we think. The way we act. The way we deal. You cannot live in a world of conflict in yourself. And so God tells us the right thing to do. Step into righteousness. Align yourself with the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And when you do so, and you sow from that place, your expectation becomes great. Amen? Your expectation becomes great. Now, let's have something settled. It is one thing to hear the words of God, good words. It's another thing to live it, apply it. If I had a table, do we have a shovel? Can you bring me a shovel, please? If I have a table full of goodies, nice steak, amazing fish, chicken, all kinds of fruits and vegetables and nice condiments and accompaniments and stuff like that. The table is full. Okay? It's full. I'm sure you've watched some of those old-time movies where, you know, these kings and their knights, and they have a big spread of food on the table. Well, if I have that on your table, you have your plate, you have your fork, you have your knife, you have your spoon, you have everything necessary. If you don't engage yourself with that food, will you be full? Will you die hungry? Yes. So you can have all kinds of food and still die hungry because you did not apply. You've got to apply the things that you know, not just in your head. You got to do it. You got to practice it. You've got to learn how to say good things, sow good things into your spirit. Because already you're sowing bad things into your spirit. You spend the time talking about how broke you are. Spend the time talking about how defeated you are. Spend the time talking about how sick you are. Spend the time talking about how weak you are. Spend the time talking about all the troubles ahead of you. And very little talking about the breakthroughs that God has assigned to you. We do that all the time. And then we wonder why things are not moving. Oh, my business, things are really hard for my business. You know, I don't know what we're going to do. Yeah? What do you think God is going to do about it? And what can you do about it? You see, because it's one thing, listen, it's one thing for God to say something about you that is good. But if you don't say it, it is not yours. It only becomes relevant to you when you say what God is saying. Hello? Please don't miss that point. Because God said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's going to happen when you say the same thing. For the word of God says in Amos 3:7, God will do nothing. Nothing. Except he first reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And what do prophets do? They say, they speak out. God is not doing anything here until you do something about it, until you say something about it. Now, why do we get in the way of God? God is saying something and we're saying something else. He says, the promised land is yours. Go possess it. And they come back saying, we can't because there are giants in the land. He says, so, okay. And the land, the inhabitants thereof, okay. So you're going to die. You're dead. None of you are going in there except for Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb is going to get in there because he has another spirit. Caleb says, let's go get it. What you're saying is true, but let's go get it because God said. God said something. And that's what I am going to follow. What God said. I know you're wondering why I'm holding on to this shovel. You'll find out very soon. God said. The enemy wants to hide what God says from you or distort it. Has anyone gone to one of these carnivals like Red River X and while you're in there, there might be, you know, some room in the carnival where they have a mirror and you stand in front of the mirror and you're this big and this short. It's a mirror, and you stand in front of another one, you're this thin, and you're this tall. The image is distorted. And that's what the enemy wants to do with the mirror of your life, your understanding of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is supposed to be as that mirror for you. And if he can distort the Word of God, he will distort your sense of your image. You want to get the pure word. What does the word of God say about me? Stick with that. And you'll find yourself, you know, some little shrimpish chimp.
You have a good sense of who you are. And you live out that life based on what God is showing to you about you. God sends an angel to Gideon, and Gideon is hiding from the Midianites. And what does God say? Thou great mighty man of valor. The guy is scared witless, and God is calling him a mighty man of valor, and says, go in this thy strength. Did God see him hiding? Absolutely. And when God was saying, thou mighty man of valor, I'm sure Gideon was spinning around and giving himself vertigo or something. You know, who are you talking about? Is there anybody else here? Hello, who? No, I'm talking about you. I'm saying about you that you are mighty. I'm saying about you that you are more than a conqueror. I'm saying about you that you are wealthy. I'm saying about you that you are healthy. I'm saying about you that you are a visionary. I'm saying about you that you are a goal getter. I'm saying about you that you are wonderful. I'm saying about you that you are a winner. You are a victor. I'm saying about you that you are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. That's what I'm saying about you. Oh God, you must be talking about something. Somebody else, because you're talking about somebody else, because that's not me. Well, understand that God, when God said, when it was all dark, let there be light, there was what? Darkness, right? No, there was what? Light. What God says is what God means, and what God says is what comes to pass. And no matter the challenges that you face, stick with the program. The program is a program of God. Be programmed by God's word. I like that word today, being programmed by the word of God. It's like, having a brainwash, a mind wash. Oh, these people have been brainwashed. That's why they're thinking like that. Yes, I want my brain washed properly. So I have the mind of Christ. I'm programmed to do what God says, to be what God says I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, when the enemy comes and you are redigging the wells of your father, which are the wells of faith, the enemy comes there and he stops them, hides them, puts stone and sand in it. Remember. Wow. They put stones, they put sand, and stop those wells. But what should stones remind you of? They should remind you of the rock. What does sand remind you of? They should remind you of the promise of God, who says he's blessing you, and your seed shall be as the sand in the seashore. So what the enemy planned for evil, turn it around. Say, stones, you put in stones in here? Every time I take a stone out, I'm reminding myself that I am part of the rock, Jesus. Every time I take the sand out, I'm reminding myself that I'm a child of promise. My seed shall prosper. And you keep on digging. What are wells? You don't have a well in a watery place. You don't have wells in water. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You have wells, and you're able to dig wells because you're standing on something that is solid, and the water is flowing underneath. It is hidden. So you dig for it. You've got to dig for that which is hidden, because you must understand, you must understand, you must understand that God doesn't want you to die in thirst. He is, he says, I'm going to create a wellspring. Out of your belly shall flow rivers, streams of living water. Bible tells us about Ishmael and Hagar. The young boy is thirsty and is dying, and the mother is way over there, and the Bible says that she cried because she didn't want the son to die, and she didn't want to see her son dying. But while she is crying over there, the Bible says God heard the little lad. God heard the lad, saw him, and God provided water for them. God is our source. Amen? Now, wells have to be dug. In the times of Abraham and Isaac, they dug it by hand. And the wells might go down 20, 40, 50 feet. They strike the water, and when they strike water, water keeps on filling in. But for the person who is digging, he does not dig by himself. It takes unity to dig. Let me say that again. It takes what? Unity to dig. Because the guy who is digging has to put it in a bucket, some kind of device. And the people that are up have to pull it up and bring it back empty. And he fills it. And they take it up and they bring it back empty. And he fills it. And he keeps on going. But while he's going down and down and down and down, it looks like he's getting away further and further away from the light. And the surrounding walls have the potential of collapsing on him. But he's doing it. Why is he doing it? Why is he endangering himself? He's endangering himself, dying to self, so that life can be released. Well diggers sacrifice. Hello? If you're not a person who is willing to sacrifice so that others can live, you end up not living yourself. A man with a well should not die thirsty. Got to dig. Dig into the Word of God. Now that I'm ministering the Word of God to you, what am I doing? I'm digging. I'm digging to make sure that you get it. I'm digging. If you are self-centered and selfish, you will not dig. And if you don't dig, you die and everybody else dies. If you're not digging for the truth, you will never come to the truth. Because most times what the treasure is running underneath that which is solid. that you're standing on. You want that? Dig for it. Dig for it. Dig for it. You want to know what the truth is? Dig for it. You don't get anything without digging for it. A lawyer will tell you that. If you want to know the truth about the situation, what really happened, you got to dig for it. It's not volunteered. You dig for it. How do you dig for it? You ask questions. You ask questions. What is the first thing we see about Jesus Christ when his father and his mother left him in the temple? He's asking questions, he's answering questions, he's digging for it. Don't be a believer that doesn't ask questions. That's how you know what your heritage is. That's how you know what your rights are. That's how you know what your legacy is. That's what you know. That's how you know what God has apportioned to you, by you asking questions. Ask questions. Now, if you're asking questions for selfish, self-centered reasons, that's a different problem. The greatest blessing is for you to ask questions so that you can be a blessing to others. Because people who dig wells for a community. The well was dug so that a community can thrive. Isaac finds his wife at a well. Hello? Mm-hmm. Jesus must needs go through Samaria to meet a woman at the well. That's a community center. The church should be a well for the community. And what is the enemy's plan? To stop it. Fill it with garbage. But that garbage that is filling it with, those stones that is filling it with, that sand that is filling it with, we are declaring is something else. You're throwing rocks in here. We believe that the main rock is Jesus, and every stone came out of that rock. So whatever it is that you think you're doing, you think you're messing us up, no, you're making us greater. I'm going to dig and find out more about my Lord. I'm going to dig and find out more about the promises of God that he's spoken, that says to me that he's going to bless me like the sand in the seashore. And when I get to the water, I will get to the water of life. Jesus said, if you come to this well and drink out of this, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink out of the well, the water that I give to you, you're not going to thirst ever again. It's a water that's going to bring you into wholeness, into salvation. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, turn your lemons to lemonade. Turn the bad, rough times to a testimony. Amen? Make it something different. Because there's so many reasons why the enemy wants you to fail. But make the decision, I am not going to fail. I'm not going to fail. No matter what challenges there are, I will make it. I'm going to dig for it. So they come, and the Bible tells us that the first well that was redug is the word, the well Esek. Esek means contention. They contended for it. They said, the water is ours. The water is ours. Notice, they didn't say the well is ours. They said the water is ours. The well is the conduit to the water. And the enemy jumps right to the end of it and says, the blessing is ours. That's what he said. The blessing is ours. What is the world saying to us? The blessing is ours. What is the world saying to us during COVID? We are the essential services. No, you're not. You're not going to take what belongs to us. What is the enemy doing? The enemy goes and claims the rainbow. That is the covenant of God. And says, it's ours. So we have those with alternative lifestyles carrying the flag of the rainbow. It's ours. Okay? It's yours? You can keep it. I have more than that. I have the word of God. There are people that fight for inheritance, who kill themselves for an inheritance. Listen, the inheritance is not the money, it's not the house, it's not the car. You know that car? You get the car, it's sooner or later it's going to become a rust basket. You get the house is going to need repairs and needs to be fixed and it's going to fall apart. You're fighting for the clothes. It's going to go out of style. Is it the money? You're going to spend it. And whatever it is that you spend it with, you're not going to take anywhere. So where's the real blessing? The blessing is in the blessing that causes you to experience the increase of God and the benefits of knowing I tapped into something that will always continue to reproduce in my life. Because you've learned how to dig. People who have not learned how to dig are always hanging around for somebody else to get them the water. But it's better to learn how to fish than to just eat fish. If you learn how to fish and you have the patience, the know-how for fishing, you'll always have something. But if you've not given yourself to learn how to do anything, you get nothing. And people who learn are digging. Hello? Learners dig. Lazy people don't dig. The word of God says, study to make yourself a workman approved of God. You want God's certification? Study. So here comes the enemy, and he strives for the well, Esek. They said, the water is ours. Okay? So they went and they digged another well. And they strove for that also, and he called that the name of it Sitna, or strife. In actuality, Sitna should be translated as enemies, adversaries. People who wait to destroy Sidna. So they dig, and here Bible says they strove for that well also. So they went on and they came to Rehoboth. And when they come to Rehoboth, the enemy stops fighting. And so he says, "For now the Lord had made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." We shall be fruitful in the land. Wasn't he already fruitful? Absolutely, he was already fruitful. And that's why they got him away and sent him away. They didn't want him anywhere close to them. They envied him because he had become so great, exorbitantly wealthy. So he goes through this rough patch. And the reality of life is this, that in the midst of your success, you're going to go through rough patches. You don't know what enemies you have until you become successful. You really don't. You don't know who it is that hates your guts until you're making it. Then they all come out of the woodworks. They're all hidden like worms inside the apple. And I don't know how that happens. Maybe somebody will explain it to me. Somebody really smart will explain it to me someday. How the worm got inside the apple and we didn't see the hole. But it's inside. That's how enemies sometimes operate. They get in there and they hide. But in the place of success, the place of opening up. When you're successful, things are opening up for you. And that's when you're going to find those worms. You won't find them, those creatures. You won't find them. There you are. But there comes a place called Rehoboth, where the enemy is no longer able to challenge. He becomes aware you've gotten into his head. Amen? All this while they're trying to get into your head so that you think the way they think. But now you get into the head of the enemy. In Rehoboth, you get into the head of the enemy, and he begins to appreciate the fact that he is not the winner, but the loser. May God help every one of us get into the head of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get into the head of the enemy. By staying steadfast in the everlasting, incorruptible word of truth. Jesus did that. It is written. Take me to the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ real quickly, and let us see exactly how he did it. It tells us that after Jesus had received the affirmation of the Word of God at the time of his baptism, a time of identifying himself with the Word of God, while John was saying, I can be baptizing you, he says, no, we got to do this so that the Word of God is confirmed. We're going to align ourselves with what the Word of God says. The Spirit of God comes, speaks over him, and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, Jesus is the one who heard that word. Jesus heard the Father saying of him, "This is my beloved Son." Watch this. This is very important. He said, "This is my beloved Son." It doesn't sound very specific. There are all kinds of people there. John the Baptist was there. Let's look at verse 15, 16, and then 17 of Matthew 3. Jesus is answering John, who's saying, I can't be doing this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now. Allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." We've got to do this together, man. You got to do it together. You got to do your part, I do my part, and we're going to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto whom? Unto him. And he saw. Who saw? Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And then he hears a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." This is what he should have said. "You are my beloved Son." But God did not do it that way. He said, "This is my beloved Son." Why? Because you got to dig for it. You got to engage it and say, "That word is my word. That word is for me." That's why the devil was able to come to him. If you claiming it, you claiming that you are, you claiming it? "Yes, I'm claiming it." "Then if you are, prove it. Turn these stones and make them bread." Do you get it now? Do you get it? Do you get it? The prophetic word comes, and it is for everybody who is willing to grab it. That's why the word of God says, "The kingdom of God suffered violent, and the violent do what? Take it by force." You got to dig for it. You got to fight for it. You cannot be sissy around the things of God. God said it. That's mine. I heard the word of God. God said, "Somebody's getting healed from cancer." I said, "That's mine in Jesus' name." It doesn't matter whether I know that I had cancer or don't have cancer. I'm taking it. You know why? Because the people that got cancer did not know that they had cancer a minute before they found out that they had cancer. So any blessing that is floating around, I'm grabbing it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I hear God is healing somebody in his mind. Thank you, Jesus. My mind is healed. Take it. Take it. Are we on the same page? Take it. It's for whosoever. Whosoever. I am the whosoever. Hallelujah. Be that whosoever. Take it. Yes, he saw the heavens opened over him.
Yes, he did.
And he heard the voice. Yes, he did. But the voice said, "This is my beloved son." Well, I'm going to be that beloved son. Wait a minute. How can you be the beloved son when you've not done anything yet? You've not healed anybody yet? John the Baptist is busy doing something. We know that. The city is coming out to him because he's a man sent from God. Not just sent by God. He's sent from God. John the Baptist can lay claim to this thing. But Jesus, it's me. And as soon as he took that, the Bible says the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. To do what? So he can dig. God will lead you to dig. When you're facing challenges, it is God's way of bringing you to that place of digging. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? It says, then was Jesus led up, not led down, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And while he's there, the words of the devil are these: if thou be the Son of God, which you're claiming that you are, command that these stones be made bread. Command these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God. The response of Jesus: man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not out of your mouth, devil, not out of the mouth of the people. Saul moved by what the people said. The people. No. What did God say? God said, wipe out all of those Amalekites. Don't allow anything there live. Oh, but the people said. And we chose the best of the calves and the cows and the oxen and the sheep for sacrifice. God is not interested in you bringing any sacrifice when it's not founded on the solidarity of the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God, that's key. It says the Word that comes out of the mouth of God, that's how. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. See, the enemy takes you up and wants you to jump down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. But I want you to check it out. Is the word of God true? Do you really believe the angels are going to take charge of you? Then do something crazy. What's the response of Jesus? It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not going to tempt God. And by the way, I'm God to you. So the devil takes him up again up into an exceeding high mountain. Not now the temple, but the mountain. What is the mountain? The mountain is very natural. And from that mountain, he shows him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of those kingdoms. And he's saying to the Lord here, hey, well, you came for all of this, right? You can have it. I can give it to you. I have the power to give it to you. But the only thing you need to do is you need to bow down to me. Bow down to the laws and the systems of the world. This is the most challenging. Because this one is about spiritual allegiance. Who you gonna commit yourself to? Yes, you came for the world, but I can give it to you. There's a shortcut. And the shortcut is you bow down to me, you get it. You can go home and say, well, I got the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands. So you can have it without doing nothing. No sacrifice, just bow down. And unfortunately, there are so many who fall for this trap. All you need to do is bow to the system. You get the world. Just fall down and worship me. This is the wells that the Lord Jesus Christ is digging. And at this third one, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, get out of here, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I love that. Satan, get out. Move. Notice the devil did not leave until Jesus said what? Get out. The devil will never leave you alone until you tell him, buzz off. Buzz off now. He says, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Where's God living right now? Is he living in you? He's in you? You sure? He's on the throne of your heart? Okay. Then get this. Satan, I don't worship you. You worship the God that's in me. You serve the God that is in me. Whatever it is that you do is to my service. No matter what you do from this point on, it's going to be for my good. Take that! I have come to my Rehoboth, my fruitful place, my place of enlargement. You, from this point on, don't have a chance. And what happens to the devil? Then the devil what? Leave it him. And then what happened? The angels came and ministered unto him. When you come to your Rehoboth is that place where you're saying, buzz off. Then the angels come and minister to you. Then you and I become fruitful in our going out and in our coming in. Then Abimelech comes looking for you and saying, we get it. You got it into our head now. You got to get into the head of the enemy. Hallelujah. You and I need to get into the head of the enemy. Say, how do we do that? By declaring the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. My son's son and son in love, and two of my grandsons, yesterday said, let's go watch a movie. So we went, and we're going to watch this movie, something about the Planet of the Apes or something like that. It's the craziest movie. But there was one spot that caught my attention. It was a spot that didn't make sense at the very beginning. At the very beginning of the movie, there are these eagles that are flying and laying eggs, this guy, this ape called Noah, is supposed to get an egg so that he's goes through this ritual and he's honored, and something happened, the egg gets broken, and so now he goes to try to find in the dark of the night, digging to find another egg. Now you say, Pastor, you telling us about movies now or Bible? Cool it. Long story short, there are these humongous apes that are busy ransacking and killing other apes and destroying everything. But Noah, I'm not going to tell you the whole story and mess it up for you. Anyway, Noah, at the end of the movie, is challenging this king of the apes. He thought he defeated him, but this guy comes out and he's so humongous, he's flinging Noah all over the place and blah, 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 blah. But Noah's father had a control of the eagles. He sings to the eagles and he's able to influence these eagles. And while he's beaten down and he's bleeding, he starts to sing the song of the eagles. He stands up and he starts singing the song of the eagles. And the rest of the apes that are all timid join with him and they start singing the song of the eagles. And as he's singing it, the eagles, all of them flying, come. And they attack this big ape. I don't remember the name of the ape. Attack it, until he falls off the cliff and he dies. He was the last of those enemies. Why did I tell you that story? I wouldn't have gone to watch that movie. I've not watched a movie in the theater for 3, 4, 5 years. No, I'm wrong there. 3, 4, 5 years prior to one that I took my grandkids to go watch 2 months ago. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps to correct you. If you forget something, say, not so. And I just got a check. No, not right. What happened? Noah dug deep. Even though it didn't look like his father loved him, cared for him, he dug deep and remembered the songs, the singing of his father. And we need to remember the singing of our God. And as he started to sing it and others joined in the chorus, the enemy that had him down ended up dead. And Noah was able to gather his family and take them back to their homestead that the enemy had burnt down. Everything down. Noah said to his dead father's grave, I'm going to bring everybody back. I'm going to find them and bring them back. He gets enslaved and says, I failed. I'm now a slave just like everybody else. How am I going to get them back? But he finally fulfilled what he needed to do, brings his family back. May God grant us supernatural grace to dig the wells that we need to dig and bring the people of God back to their divine heritage by preaching the gospel, incorruptible gospel, the word of God, and show people this is what God says about you. Will you take it? He's saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I've not done anything. How can he be pleased with me? Take it anyway. Grab it. That's me. John the Baptist should be claiming that. No, Jesus grabbed it. That word is for me. I am the beloved of the Lord. When other people are saying, God loves me, tell them God loves me more. Oh, let's fight for this one. Hallelujah. There is more that we can tap into when we celebrate the goodness of God. And once again, I say, dig for it. Dig for it. And when the enemy challenges you and says, that's my water, I'll dig somewhere else. When I challenge you there, dig somewhere else. And when he dug at Rehoboth and prospered, because he'd restored everything his father committed to and did, he now went to the next place. And he dug a well called Beersheba, the well of the seven oaths. May God bring us not only to Rehoboth, but bring us to our Beersheba, the place of covenant, where we know that we know that we know that we know. I am blessed and highly favored. I have supernatural speed. I am head and not tail, above only and not beneath. I am wealthy, I am rich, I am prosperous in every area of my life. There is no place for lack because God is my good shepherd. I celebrate the goodness of God because resurrection life is in me. Though I may fall down like dead, I rise again with the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. God's goodness is manifested in my life. I celebrate the light of God in my life. Will you say amen to that? Amen. Rise with me. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the word that you've given to us tonight. May we embrace it and may we run with it. May we accomplish your divine purpose for our lives. May we look beyond the ordinary and see the extraordinary workings of grace. You are God. You are not a man that lies. You are faithful to the end, committed, not looking for convenience, but committed to doing what is right. And may we, O God, reflect the same, the glory of your exalted name, that wherever we go, it will be said, these are the children of the Most High God, and they're turning the world upside down and right side up. Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the ability, the strength, the wisdom to dig and to know where to dig, to know what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, how it needs to be done, for not only our personal benefit, but for the benefit of the community that you've called us to. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. It is important that we do so at all times, looking beyond our need, looking to doing what God says we should do. And he says, our needs shall be met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But the precursor to that statement is a statement in Philippians about how the people rallied around to make sure that the needs of the man of God were met. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that we should be supportive of the work of the Lord. And as we do so, we will continue to experience the increase of God. God bless you as you obey the word of God and flourish and blossom in the fullness of what he says we should be. Amen. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers that and those fathers to be. Amen. Praise God. That's you. You laid claim to it. You got it. That's it. That's it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Wednesday's Bible study. Friday is prayer meeting. This month, Bible studies will end on Wednesdays. I think we have two more, I think. Two more Wednesdays? Okay, so there are two more Wednesdays. We are going to reflect on where we started in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to reflect again on what we talked about last week. You don't want to miss them. You want to be part of it. Prayer meetings are going to be the same. We never stop praying. No, the word of God says pray without what? Season. So we'll keep on praying and believing God. And be reminded that July the 27th, we need to engage our community. Let this become a well. that they can come to and drink. Amen? There's sign-up sheets at the back table to let us know that you are going to make yourself available, and you'll be assigned something to do, whether it's putting up the tents or putting up the bouncers or setting up chairs or helping to cook and whatever it is that we're going to be doing. All right? And there are also donation letters out there that you can use to garner support for what we're going to be doing. We believe in God for at least 1,000 people that will come through that particular day. And that means we need to spread the word and let the community know what we're going to be doing. Amen? God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of God. Be at peace. And know that God has